Shabbat Shalom. This week, our parasha is Lech Lecha, which means go forth, and covers Genesis 12:1 through 17:27. Parasha Lech Lecha introduces us to the father of the Jewish people, Abram, son of Terah, and his extraordinary faith in Adonai. Genesis 12 begins by immediately thrusting us into what will be the turning point in Abram's life, the call of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Abram and told him to leave everything familiar to him and depart for a land Adonai would show him. Abram is promised that he will be the father of a great nation and that through him all the earth would be blessed. We are also told that those who bless Abram would be blessed, and those who curse him would themselves be cursed, as we just read. At the age of 75, Abram leaves his job, his extended family, and the community he has known with his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, along with their servants and belongings. He leaves everything he has known behind, not knowing where the Lord will lead him. The Lord guides him to the land of Canaan, and confirms it is this land Abram and his descendants would inherit. We then read that because of a famine, Abram and Sarai headed down to Egypt. Afraid of being killed for his beautiful wife, Abram convinces Sarai to pretend to just be his sister. And she is actually his half-sister. But when Pharaoh attempts to take Sarai as his own, the Lord strikes him with a plague, and he realizes that Sarai is actually Abram's wife. And so Pharaoh sends them both away very strongly, and the plague itself is lifted. Chapters 13 and 14 record Lot separating from Abram because of their large herds of animals. And he chooses to go to Sodom. He chooses to go to Sodom, a city that was infamous for its sin. Several years later, Lot was captured by a group of rival kings, and Abram went out to rescue him, along with the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were victorious, and Lot was saved. After the battle, Abram encounters the king of Sodom and Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is to be Jerusalem in later years. And Melchizedek is a priest of the Lord. Now, much could be said about this encounter, but I only have a little bit of time. So let me just say that Abram refuses to accept anything from the king of Sodom, making an enemy out of him, but so that this wicked king cannot claim to have made Abram rich. However, to Melchizedek, the priest of the Lord, he gives tribute and receives a blessing from him. Now, you don't just snub kings of foreign lands and typically live to tell the tale. But Abram had chosen to do such a thing, and rightly to do such a thing, and he had chosen the Lord as his protector over the king of Sodom, and the Lord promised to reward him for his faith in Genesis 15. The Lord promised to be Abram's shield, his defender, and that he would indeed give Abram a son to be his heir. Abram believed the Lord and was declared righteous for his faith. The Lord reassured Abram of the unconditional nature of his promises by entering into a formal covenant with him, but not allowing Abram to fulfill his normal role in the proceedings. By doing this, the Lord established the everlasting nature of his covenant with Abram and that it would depend on the Lord's faithfulness, not Abram. The Lord also told Abram in a dream about our people's enslavement, recorded in the book of Exodus, but that we would return to the land we had been promised, which occurred during the time of Moses. After this amazing encounter with Adonai, Abram sinned again in Genesis 16 by agreeing with Sarai's plan to have relations with her servant Hagar because Sarai wanted a child to be attributed to her. So instead of waiting on the Lord, they decided to have a son through Hagar, which they named Ishmael. We will read of the consequences of this decision later in Genesis. In the final chapter of our parasha, we read of the new names Abram and Sarai were given by the Lord. They were renamed Abraham, father of many nations, and Sarah. The Lord promised to give Abraham a son at the age of 100 years old and Sarah at 90 years old. Abraham laughed at being a father at such an old age, and so the Lord told him to name the child Isaac, Yitzhak, which means laughter. The parasha ends with Abraham, Ishmael, and all the males in his household circumcising themselves as a sign of the Lord's covenant with Abraham. You know, when I think of our father Abraham, the model of faith throughout Scripture in this week's parasha, a few thoughts come to mind. We can be sure that everything we read about Abraham in God's word is accurate because we see his triumphs with his tragedies. Throughout his life, Abraham demonstrated an extraordinary faith in the Lord. It was by faith he trusted in Adonai to lead him to a land he did not know. It was also by faith he rejected the opportunity for a powerful and beneficial alliance with the king of Sodom. Abraham is an example of real faith in God, but he is not an example of perfect faith. Abraham had his moments of doubts with the Pharaoh and with his desire to help Adonai give him an heir. But time and time again, Abraham lived his life by faith, and for it was rewarded as being the father of the Jewish people, the Arabic peoples, and spiritually Messiah's community as well. Abraham had extraordinary promises made to him by the Lord, but many of them would not occur during his lifetime. Though he was promised the land of Canaan, he spent his life as a nomad in the land. The only piece of property he owned at the end of his life was a cave in which he was buried, which he had to buy. He was promised to be the father of many nations, but Abraham would not receive his heir until roughly 26 years later after that promise was made at a very old age. Despite his faith not being perfect and not being able to physically see how the Lord would accomplish all of his promises, Abraham still had an unyielding faith in Adonai. We see the word faith used throughout this parasha, but what is faith? Faith is more than just believing in a set of statements about God. It is more than intellectual or propositional truth. It's more than just signing your name on a piece of paper. Hebrews 11 defines faith for us. It is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Abraham had a real faith in God and trusted in him to fulfill his promises. Like Abraham, we must have faith in the Lord, not in kings or money or ourselves or even politicians. Like Abraham, we can have confidence that the Lord will accomplish his promises to us at his appointed times, not ours. And amen for that. But most importantly, we must have a faith that endures the hardships and realities of life in a fallen world. Like Abraham, we have been called by the Lord, led by faith to his son, Messiah Yeshua, without knowing where life will take us. Though life can be very uncertain, in 2016 especially, and we may be strangers in the land we live in, we can have confidence that the Lord's will be done. Absolute confidence in that fact. When we place our faith in the Lord and not anything else, we are joined to our father Abraham and all the men and women of God throughout time, a great cloud of witnesses, as the writer of Hebrews says. Because of Abraham's faith, the Lord was not ashamed to be called his God. And because of our faith in the Lord through the Son of God, he is not ashamed of us either. May the Lord grant each of us a genuine faith like Abraham. May we always trust in him over anyone or anything else. Though we may not see them, may each of us look forward to the promises of God being fulfilled, and especially to the promise of the return of Messiah Yeshua. Thank you.